Thank you, Pastor. It is my joy and my privilege to be here. Let me say right immediately how much I have been blessed by the music of your church. God has touched my heart. Christ-honoring biblical Christian music is so important. I believe that one of the areas where Satan is attacking the most in Christian churches, good churches, is in the area of Christian music. Psalm 40 in verse 3, one of my favorite verses, says, "He hath put a new song." That doesn't mean contemporary. Contemporary is that which blends with and matches and goes with whatever is going, like contemporary clothing, contemporary. And there's a difference because our Bible says, "Be not conformed to this world." And to have contemporary music means music that is conformed to this world, and that makes it contemporary. But he's put a new song in our mouth. Notice, not in our ear. Christian music is not for entertainment. Christian music is for evangelism and edification. He's put a new song in my mouth. So it's not just to be enjoyed and heard, it's to be sung. Many shall see it. Another unique way God puts his word. How can you see music? When God's Spirit is working in the hearts of those who are listening and in the hearts of those who are giving forth the music, then you can see the difference in their lives. Many shall see it, and fear brings godly conviction, not great enjoyment. And then the result is what we want. And then they will trust in the Lord. Keep going with what you're doing. Because not only it's not just enough to stand against what is wrong. We need to produce and have that which is vibrant and living and honoring to the Lord. Nothing short of excellent is honoring to the Lord. So we should do our best, and you have. And I've been greatly blessed. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles. John 3:16 is one of the greatest verses in all the Word of God. In the first service, I quoted it in Japanese, which says, "Kami wa jitsu ni sono shitori go o atai ni natta hodo ni yo o aishite kurasatta. Subete kare o shinzuru mono shitori mo horobiru koto naku eien no inochi o eru tame de aru." Means the same thing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Should not perish. Should not perish. But have everlasting life. You see, even though it's God has provided the means whereby no one needs to perish. Countless souls all over this planet are perishing in their sin. 2 Peter chapter 3, and that's where I want you to open your Bibles. Just one verse. The Lord, chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness." Incidentally, that's true. Just a little side trail right here. That's true of any promise of God. We're in missions conference. We're talking about faith, promise, giving. And I still like the way I think about it. My faith, your faith, as weak as it may be, trusting his promise. You see, when we give by faith, we give what God wants us to give, trusting Him to keep His promise that if we will give, it will be given unto us. See, that's putting faith in the promise of God, not in the promise of man. We can stand on the promises of God, but missionaries can't depend on the promises of men. Neither can we. But here it says, God is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. What promise is it talking about? It's talking about there in Acts 1, where it says, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus will so come in like manner as you've seen Him go. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. The promise of His return is what we're talking about here. But it says, He's not slack concerning that promise, but is long-suffering. That means He's patient. He's willing to wait. He's long-suffering to the lost. No, that's not what it says. He's long-suffering to usward. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Every soul that perishes will perish against the will of God. God is not willing that even one should perish. That's why our theme should ring true. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, every created one. Our physical may be inherited from our parents, but every individual soul is an individual creation of God and will live for all eternity. But unless we've become new creatures in Christ, we will die and perish in our sins. Oh, the souls that now are dying in the lands across the sea who've never heard of Jesus, who means much to you and me. They're haunted by the evil spirits, bearing heavy loads of care, thinking only of appeasement and living and dying in despair. They have gods with eyes that see not, and gods with ears that cannot hear, who their prayer can never answer, who cannot dispel their fear, who can never bear their burdens, never open heaven's gate. Oh, they need to know of Jesus. How much longer must they wait? You see, I'm here this morning. Normally, the approach is pleading with you to send missionaries, and this is part of it, to give that others can go, to give and to represent Jesus Christ. But today, I stand before you this morning representing perishing souls all over this world. For 34 plus years, God allowed me and my wife to be missionaries in Japan. I had tunnel vision for one country. I lived in the same house for 30 years. Now I don't even sleep in the same bed more than four nights in a row. But you see, God has every right to interrupt our plans anytime He wants to if we belong to Him. We don't have to understand Him. In fact, sometimes, you know, we ought not to try. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know, every time you lean on your own understanding, you know what you get? A misunderstanding. Every time. You don't have to understand God to trust Him, because He's a trustworthy God. And He can change our plans anytime He wants to if we belong to Him. But God, when my wife went to be with the Lord, I didn't know what I was going to do. But God knew what I was going to do. In fact, it was a part of His plan. And He led me to expand that ministry. And for the last 16 years, I have been everywhere. Now, that's not literal, but that is almost literal. Go ye into all the world. I didn't know that was personal. But the Lord has opened up doors, and I've met marvelous men and women of God, both missionaries and national workers and godly people. And I've seen Bible college started. I've seen churches planted. I've seen God do some of those leftovers I was talking about in Sunday school this morning. That God just keeps blessing and blessing and blessing, and you can't give out God. Incidentally, you can't outgive God. Incidentally, it's very important what you do with the leftovers. They belong to God too. So when God blesses you, you give more. There was a man, they called him Mad, because the more he gave, the more he had. And that's true in so many people's lives. But I'm here this morning representing perishing people all over this planet. Please for the perishing, P-L-E-A-S. Please, beggings, pleading for perishing people. That's what missions is really all about. I like that great hymn that Fanny Crosby wrote, Rescue the Perishing. Care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin in the grave. Weep o'er the erring one. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. And we've heard of one that God saved this week. Praise the Lord. Though they are slighting Him, still He is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly. Plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, cords that are broken can vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Duty demands it. Strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way. Patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer that Jesus has died. Rescue perishing peoples. That's what missions is all about. That's what visitation is all about. That's what Sunday school classes are all about. That's why the church is here. As a rescue mission for a lost and dying world. I want you to hear the pleas. I want you to tune your ear of faith and listen and see if you can hear the pleas that are coming for perishing peoples all around the world. First of all, the plea, it comes from the portals of heaven. Look at Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel 33. And sometimes when I'm opening my Bible, I go the wrong way because everything is reverse in Japanese. But Ezekiel 33, there it is. God the Father from heaven speaking says, I have set thee a watchman. In verse 8 of chapter 33, he says, God says, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. Physical death and eternal death. Perishing. And when I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way, to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Verse 11, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God. This is the plea that's coming from the portals of heaven. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? God says the same thing to this whole world. He's pleading this plea that comes from the portals of heaven. The destiny of every sinner is eternal perishing. Therefore, the duty of every saint is to warn them and win them to Jesus Christ. Because the desire of the Savior is that they be saved. It's not His will that any perish, not one. God has no pleasure in damnation. That's why God has provided deliverance. And that's why He is pleading for decision. Come unto me, Jesus, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, all of you. Let him that's athirst come. Come, come, come. God the Father from heaven is pleading with us to warn the wicked so that they will have a choice. If they will believe, they will be saved. If they do not believe, whether they hear or not, they will go into eternal damnation. That's why we must get the gospel to them. We must get the gospel to everyone. They should at least be able to make the choice. Now, very quickly, to Luke 16. And to be honest with you, I don't like to preach from Luke chapter 16. The rich man and Lazarus. Verse 19 says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. The envy of everybody. Verse 20, there was a beggar, a certain beggar. This is not a parable. It's a true story. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Excuse me for pausing, but I like that. What was the beggar's, what was the rich man's name? Nobody knows. Now, there are some that have tried to give him a name, but it's not in the Scripture. Nobody knows the rich man. But God knew the name of Lazarus. He knew the poor man's name. And this man was poor, and he was desiring to be fed. He was full of sores. He was in a terrible earthly situation, while the rich man was in a situation of splendor. But both of them died. Verse 22 says, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried up by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. Now, I do have an imagination, as you've already heard, and I can imagine the funeral that that rich man must have had. He was buried. Lazarus wasn't even buried. But I think I like the pallbearers better for Lazarus than I do for the rich man. The angels came and carried him into Abraham's bosom. Now, Lazarus didn't go to heaven because he was poor. And the rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. But God is just using extreme earthly. He says, everything this world has to offer is not worth the price of one soul going to eternal hell. So having nothing in this life and going to heaven is better than having everything in this life and going to hell. That's what God is illustrating here. But he goes on to say that when this rich man was in hell, he lifted up his eyes, verse 23, being in torments, And seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. You see, that rich man, it's been more than 2,000 years and he's still there. And he's still in eternal torment. But when he was told, and we won't read all of this, when he was told, that's impossible, there's a great gulf, and when you, in your lifetime you had your chance and you didn't take it, now there's no possible way that you can be saved. When he heard that, his prayer didn't end. It says in verse 27, then he said, this is the rich man, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. See, that's the plea for the perishing that comes from the pits of hell. Did you know that your lost loved ones, if they're in hell and you're not, they're praying for you? They're praying, God, send somebody. Lord, send somebody to my loved ones. Don't let them come to this awful place. Many times when I witness to people in Japan, they will say, oh, I would like to be a Christian, but I'm afraid of my ancestors. You see, they worship their own dead. They worship the spirits of grandmother, mother, dad, uncle, and they're afraid of them. I usually say, well, was your mother, grandmother that mean when she was alive? And they say, oh, no, she was a sweet lady. I said, well, you think she's changed just because she died? She doesn't want to hurt you. But they still believe it. So I point them to this passage, and I say, if you do have loved ones in hell, they won't be angry with you if you don't join them. They're praying, God send somebody to my loved ones so they don't come to this awful place. And then I say, maybe that's why I'm here. Maybe God led me to this place at this time because your ancestors are praying for you to be saved. The plea that comes from the pits of hell. Now turn very quickly to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 6. It says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Incidentally, I love this verse. And I always read it when I come to this passage because it was this verse that God used to call me to Asia as a missionary. I was about 18 years of age. And I was praying and I took 3 years of Latin because that would fit any language I would have to learn if I went somewhere in the world, because I knew since I was 12 that God had called me to be a missionary. I ended up going to Japan and Latin had nothing to do with any of that language. But I was reading this verse, and just as clear as if I had heard his voice, and I didn't, but the Holy Ghost said, I forbade Paul to go to Asia, but that's exactly where I want you to go. And since then, I've known that. I've known that. And Japan was God's call for my life. But it says in verse 7, they also went to Mysia, then they went to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not to go there. You know, God shuts doors. But then verse 9 says, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, pleaded with him, begged him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. That's the plea that comes from the pitiful heathen. all over the world. They don't know what they need, but they need it. I think that when Buddhists do all their chants and roll their beads and everything, it's because there's an empty heart. And they're saying, help us, but they get no help. When the Muslims bow down in those numbers and kneel all those times every day, and what they're doing is they're saying, help us, help us, help us. Now, when Paul got to Macedonia, he didn't find that man. He found problems and persecutions. He did find one devout woman on the riverbank that got saved, and her house became the first church, and that's where the church at Philippi was planted. You see, when we go to the mission fields, people are pleading for something. Why do we have so many suicides? Because there's no satisfaction. There's no peace, no matter what you have. So why do so many famous stars and people that are well seem like they have everything that everybody else would love to have, and they take their own lives? Why? Because they're crying, help me. Help me. Somebody help me. And there's nobody to help them. You see, that's the plea that comes from pitiful heathen peoples all over this world. Paul got a vision. We call it the Macedonian call. We sing that as a great missionary hymn. We've heard the Macedonian call today. Have we? Can you hear it? Can you hear that voice that rings out from the darkness? It says, help us. Help us. We're bound in religion. We're bound in fear. We're chained by sin. We're in darkness. We have nothing. Help us. Help us. Help us. That's the cry that comes from the pitiful heathen. The first one should be enough when God says, warn them for me. That cry that comes from the portals of heaven, that should be enough. Jesus' last command should be our first priority. Just because he said to go, that should be enough. But as we think about perishing souls, we can hear God Almighty from heaven above as he cries out, warn them for me. I don't want them to perish. And then we can hear even those who are in hell, like that rich man, that are saying, send somebody to my loved ones. Don't let them come to this awful place. And then we can hear the voice of heathen all over this world. And incidentally, the word heathen is not a derogatory term. It's anyone who is not a Jew or anyone who does not know God. So anyone who does not know God is a heathen in the Word of God. Lost people, perishing people, people on their way to eternal hell. And they're calling out, help us, help us. And then one more, Romans chapter 10. And I listened to the boys and girls say that last night. And what a blessing in my heart. And to several of them I said, after they quoted, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, I said, do you believe that? And have you called upon the name of the Lord? And most of them said yes. One was a little bit in doubt, and I was able to encourage him to do that. But here's Paul. The book of Romans is all about the marvelous gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think as Paul is thinking about his own people, and then he's thinking about all of the Gentile peoples all around the world, his heart is overflowing with an exciting joy that he can't hold back. And he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. God has done that. God has provided a plan so that my people, the Jew, and everybody else, all they have to do is call upon the name of the Lord and they can be saved. But then, a shadow comes in.
and comes over Paul. And he says, but how can they call upon him in whom they've not believed? So many won't believe even after they hear. But there's something even worse. How can they believe in him in whom they've not heard? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing, by the way, how can they believe? Anybody can call, but how can, if they believe, but how can they believe if they've never heard? And then how can they hear except someone preach? There have to be missionaries to go. There have to be neighbors to go. Crossing an ocean won't turn anybody into a missionary. If you won't cross the street, you'd better not cross the ocean. You see, we need to have that compassion for people all around us. But as we think, well, how can they believe if they don't even hear? And if they don't hear it from you, they may not hear it from anybody. And then how shall they preach? How can they go? How can they proclaim? How can they be a missionary? How can they be a witness except they be sent? And see, that's the task of the church. That's why we have a missions conference. And I call this one the plea from the passionate heart of the missionary. And I stand here too, not anywhere close to being like the Apostle Paul, but I think I understand his heart. Because I've been in the last 16 and a half years in place after place after place after place. And the poverty level is different physically, but the poverty level is no different spiritually, no matter where I go. And how can they believe if they can't even hear the gospel? So that's why Paul is pleading. And if he were standing here, he would go on all the way through to chapter 12 where he would say, I beseech you, I plead with you, I beg you, by the mercies of God, that you present your body, not the one sitting beside of you, not the one sitting behind you, but you present your body, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's unreasonable not to give yourself to God. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the will of God, that by be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And remember, it's not the will of the Father that even one should perish. So in order to prove and know and do the will of God, you have to be willing to step into his plan so that you can go where he wants you to go and you can give what he wants you to give and you can be what he wants you to be. That's what it's all about. Perishing souls. Perishing souls. Oh, I wish I had time to tell you the testimonies of those who were perishing but no longer are. I wish I could have you walk with me in places that you could not imagine. And you could see the marvelous difference. It's hard to win people to the Lord in Japan. Many times we've given out 30, 40, 50,000 invitations to a meeting and not one single person come. It causes you to weep through the night. It causes you to, but then God will open the heart of one or two or three. And in all kinds of places, in the most impossible situations you can imagine, this little people will believe and this little church starts to spring up. And everything that the devil and all of his demons can do can't stop it. Because Jesus said, I will build my church. But in order to do that, we have to be willing to listen to what he said when he said, if any man will, let him come after me. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, die to himself, and follow me, be my disciple. You see, if
that is going to be accomplished anywhere in the world, we're going to have those who will listen to the plea that comes from the portals of heaven. Warn them for me. Listen to the plea that comes from the pits of hell. Send somebody to my lost loved ones. And then listen to the plea that comes from the pitiful heathen that says, come over and help us. Come over and help us. I wrote these words. I'm not a poet nor the son of a poet. But come over and help us. Oh, please hear our cry. There's no one to tell us, and soon we will die. Come over and help us. We're lost in the night. We're groping in darkness. Oh, please send the light. Come over and help us before it's too late. We need to know Jesus. How long must we wait? Come over and help us. Oh, please hear our plea. We're bound in sin's shackles. We long to be free. Come over and help us. We're trapped in our fear. How can we believe if we can't even hear? We're helpless and hopeless. No one seems to care. Come over and help us. Oh, please hear our prayer. One more, and I close. Oh, can't you hear the plea that comes from heaven above? Oh, can't you hear His voice? Oh, can't you feel His love? He has purpose for your life. He has a perfect plan. He sends you with gospel light to make them understand. Oh, can't you hear the plea that comes from hell below? Send someone to tell the lost that they the truth may know. This torment is my fate. I can't be saved by grace. But let my loved ones hear. Don't send them to this place. Oh, can't you hear the plea from heathen far and near? Please help us is their cry. We're bound in sin and fear. Someone must hear their cry. Does He want you to go? We must take the gospel light so all the world can know. Look into your heart and find compassion there. Will you not heed the call? Will you the gospel share? From heaven and from hell and from the heathen too. These pleas tug at our heart. What are we going to do? Pastor, would you come and close this up?